In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We look around us today, and we don't see a lot of love, it doesn't seem like. If love was a sponge, then it's been completely wrung dry. Everywhere we seem to turn. There's animosity, there's hatred, there's divisiveness. I mean, we see it in the news every single day. You could hardly go by half a day without hearing something that indicates that there is a lack of love in the world. Yet as Christians, we are the ones that are responsible for bringing this love into the world, this love that has become incarnate for us, and this love that has told us that we need to spread Him, because Jesus Christ is love. And yet today in the gospel, we are told to take it even a step further. We are told that we are to love our enemies. Enemies. Now, I don't know how many of us think in our own lives that we actually have enemies. That's a pretty strong word. You think about that, you think about wartime, you know, the enemies of the country. But yet, enemies could be defined as really anything that is warring against your ability to love God yourself. And so it's important that if we are trying to be separated from God by someone, that we still learn to love them. Now, how do we do that? There was a saint, we actually commemorated him last week, named Silouan of Mount Athos, who was a Russian and came to Mount Athos in the early 20th century, late 19th century, and he reposed in 1938. And because he was under the Patriarch of Constantinople, because Mount Athos is under that jurisdiction, the Patriarch, 50 years later, in 1988, glorified Saint Silouan. And more than anybody I can think of, in terms of modern Orthodox saints, define this apostleship of love than Silouan does. He's a completely remarkable man. And he had some interesting things to say, especially about loving enemies. And I think it's important that we listen to some of his words. He says this, "The Lord taught me to love my enemies. Without the grace of God, we cannot love our enemies, but the Holy Spirit teaches love. And then even devils rouse our pity because they have fallen from good and lost humility and the love of God. I beseech you, put this to the test. When a man affronts you or brings dishonor on your head or takes what is yours or persecutes the church, pray to the Lord and say, O Lord, we are all thy creatures, have pity on thy servants, and turn their hearts to repentance. And you will be aware of grace in your soul. To begin with, constrain your heart to love her enemies, and the Lord, seeing your goodwill, will help you in all things, and experience itself will show you the way. But the man who thinks with malice of his enemies has not God's love within him and does not know God. If you will pray for your enemies, peace will come to you. But when you come to love your enemies, know that a great measure of the grace of God dwells in you, though I do not say perfect grace as yet, but sufficient for salvation. Whereas, if you revile your enemies, it means there is an evil spirit living in you and bringing evil thoughts into your heart. For, in the words of the Lord, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts or good thoughts. If you cannot love, then at least do not revile and curse your enemies, and things will already be better. But if a man curse and abuse his enemies, it is plain that an evil spirit abides in him. And when he dies, he will go to the abode of the evil spirits. May the Lord preserve every soul from such adversity." Now, Silouan had his own spiritual struggles that he had to deal with. One of them happened to be pride. A man came to him knowing how advanced spiritually he was, and he said to him, "Father, after all you have accomplished, just think by the end of the life of your life what it will be like." And Silouan, upon hearing these words, had a big fall, for immediately pride entered into his heart, and he lost the grace that God had given him. We have another saint, Saint Porphyrius. Many of you have read the book Wounded by Love, or if you haven't, you should. In fact, you should also read this. This is worth its weight in gold, Wisdom from Mount Athos, the Writings of Star at Silouan. But Saint Porphyrius, who was glorified just a few years ago, also entered a monastery at a young age, at the age of 12. And he was able to attain the grace of God even early on, by the time he was 17 years old. And the people in this monastery knew this. They understood this about him. And they didn't want him to lose that grace that he had gained. So what did they do? They ignored him. They didn't pay any attention to him at all. They weren't going to give him any temptations to pride. So they just let him think that he was as if everyone else is. And Elder Porphyrius never lost that grace that God had given him. He retained it all through his life. Whereas St. Silouan went into a 14-year period of drought from the grace of God before he was able to get it back. It took a long, long time. Now, St. Silouan, after he had gained that grace back, he would often hear, especially from, as is often the case, converts to the church who became a little too enthusiastic about the things they were reading and were, of course, wanting to essentially write off everyone else who did not share their own opinions. And Silouan heard some of these people on Athos once who were saying that everyone who is not Orthodox is bound for hell. They're going to be bound for hell. And Silouan was very upset by this. And he went to them and said, "You are not Orthodox in spirit. You don't know what you're talking about. This is not Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is love. We preach love and repentance, love and repentance. And we don't make such judgments. And so by doing this, you yourselves are leaving the church, leaving that very church that you believed that you had come to accept and to love." Because again, this apostle of love had so much of it overwhelming in him that he could not countenance any other type of speech to other people. And so yet we are brought back to the gospel today, where we are told to love our enemies, to do good, to lend to those who ask for it, expecting nothing in return. And of course, that's not really lending, is it? That's giving something away. That's saying, "Here, take this. I don't expect it back. You just take it." But the love of enemies, then, is a requirement that God tells us. Because there used to be what was called at the time of the Lord almost a law of reciprocity. If you did something to someone, they did something back to you in return because of what you had done. So they were sort of evening out the scales, making the playing field level. But of course, in this gospel today, the Lord says, no, you need to do good to everyone because you would want them to do the same to you out of the generosity of their heart, not because they felt that they owed you anything. Because if you are following the law of reciprocity, if you are simply doing good like the sinners do to their own children, then what good is that to you? How is that to your advantage? Because sinners do the same thing. Sinners are the ones that by nature will follow the law in their hearts and do good to their children, for instance. But for you, you are to do good to everyone expecting nothing in return, simply because you would wish that if roles were reversed, that you would be treated the same way. The same is what points to love for our enemies in this world. Because enemies, though we think of it as a rather vile word, is something that we do often come upon. There have been people in our lives that actively work against us. Have you never known anyone at work, for instance, who didn't like you, was trying to hold you back, was trying to hold you down? How about the real test? Have you ever been in your automobile and someone pulls in front of you suddenly and cuts you off and you slam on your brakes? What's your reaction? Anger? Fury? Some choice sign language, perhaps? There's all of these things that come to mind. How many of you would simply say, "Oh, look at that fella. He pulled in front of me and cut me off. Look at him. I'll have to pray for him so he doesn't get into an accident." How many of us take it that easily? Okay? But yet these people are not enemies. Not in the most profound sense of the word. But it shows you how far away we are from the concept of loving our enemies when we can't even take that. When we can't even drive down the road and not feel that somehow we are kings of the road and all the other vassals must step aside. And if they dare get in our way, they're going to incur our wrath. Because we can forgive our enemies, but by darned, we're not going to forgive these people who cut us off in the road. You see how crazy all of this is. Yet that's where it starts. That's where the sort of forgiveness that we need to cultivate within our hearts begins. These simple things of being affronted by people, or being disparaged by people, or insulted, or looked at in a funny manner, or we feel like they're talking behind our back. Are they true enemies? Probably not. But they're getting in what we feel is our way, and they're insulting us, and they're hurting our pride, and yet we can't even forgive them. How can we forgive? And what would you say to someone? Someone, for instance, who, an Orthodox Christian, just as a supposition, who comes over from Syria and says to you, "My whole family was killed in front of my eyes. My whole family gone. And I've got such rage and bitterness in my heart. And I know that it's wrong to feel that way. And I know that I shouldn't be letting the devil get to me this way. But I simply can't help what I saw. I can't help what I feel." What if you were that person? What would you say to that person in terms of forgiving your enemies? Would you quote this gospel? Would it sound rather platitudinous to say that? "Well, you know, the Lord said, love your enemies," with a smile on your face. You think that's going to do it for them? Would it do it for you? But yet this is what the Lord calls us to. This is what He says. We are to love our enemies. Sometimes that's the most difficult thing in the world. For a person like this, what could we tell them except, "I will pray for you. I will pray that you find peace in this situation. And it may take time, but I'll help you through it, and I won't leave you. I'll be with you, and we'll pray together that you can find peace for what you saw." And then after time passes, perhaps you will find it in your hearts to love those who did this to you, who persecuted you. We see how brutal and violent the very act of trying to love enemies can be, how it can tear our souls, how it can rip us apart emotionally, how it can make us question our own faith. Because we know these teachings. We know what the Lord says. It's very clear. We hear them in the gospel, and it zips right over the top of our heads. Yes, love our enemies. Okay, I'll do it. Until it gets serious. And then all of a sudden, we begin to understand the profundity of the Lord's teaching. We begin to understand how important it is to become love, like Silouan did, like Porphyrius did. Because when the love of God fills your heart, there is no place for anything else. But the time to do that is now, before the test comes. Not wait until after something happens. That's why we are constantly exhorted to acquire the Holy Spirit of God, to become Christ-like. That's what we have to do now. So when we are tested, we will pass that test with flying colors. And we won't have to worry about whether our faith is strong, about whether we even have the ability to follow the Lord's commandments. Because they are not all easy. Many of them are extremely difficult. But this is why Jesus Christ came to earth. To show us what real human beings are like. And that is our job in this world. To present that new human being to all that we meet. To forgive all that we meet. And to love all that we meet. No matter what they may have done. So by the prayers of St. Silouan of Mount Athos and St. Porphyrius, may our good Lord Jesus Christ grant all of us the ability to acquire His Holy Spirit and present Him to others in the world. Amen.